This reading is taken from Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 26. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Here ends the reading. I'll hand over to David to unpack the passage.
Well, I'm not really a holiday person. I haven't been bred for holidays. But there was one holiday that I've taken that I didn't want to come home from. I was so engrossed in it. It was actually an animal safari in South Africa. And we were told that in order to have an authentic African safari experience, we needed to see the big five: the lion, the leopard, the elephant, the rhinoceros, and the buffalo. And so we set out with our guide in a little safari vehicle to see the big five. I remember there were about five or six of us in the vehicle, and we turned a corner and we were confronted by a herd of African elephants. One of them took a particular interest in us. It was a bull elephant. He started to flap his ears, stomp on the ground, throw dust in the air with his trunk, and he charged us. Our guide reassured us. He said, "They're mostly bluffing." I only heard the word "mostly." I wasn't reassured. As it turned out, he was bluffing. Now, I thought to myself, isn't that an amazing experience? I've had an authentic elephant experience in Africa. How different that is to the experience I've had with elephants in Sydney. I can remember going to Taronga Park Zoo in the days where you could pay money and ride on the elephant's back. And yet the elephant was an object of pity. I can remember going to the circus and seeing elephants chained up. How different to see the elephant in the wild. Now, I put it to you this morning that there is, just as there is an authentic elephant experience in Africa in the wild, there is an authentic Christian faith. And there is a skim milk Christianity variety which most people follow. And in order to get to the authentic Christian belief, we need to look at the big five. And the Apostle Paul, in these letters, if you have, in this letter of Romans, if you have it there with you, it will be helpful if you follow to make sure that what I'm saying is there. Because in three verses, from verse 23 to verse 25, St. Paul tells us the big five so that you can know that you have an authentic Christian belief. And I trust this will be helpful as we work through these. Let's look first of all at verse 23. Notice what the apostle says. He says, "For all," not just some, "but all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Just imagine that. He used the picture of the arrow. The archer fires the arrow, it's on target, but it falls short. And we fall short in our sin of God's standard. That is our problem. That is our dilemma. But notice the first of the big five comes in the very next verse. "And are justified." The Apostle Paul takes us to the courtroom where God the judge declares you, the guilty sinner who is short of the standard of God, he declares you to be in the right. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? We are not self-centered mercenaries who fight in order to earn dollars so that I live in order to earn a right standing with God. But this verse, this word tells me that God declares us in the right. He justifies us. No matter how you feel, God declares you in the right, and that is the basis of friendship with God. Now, how can he do that when I'm a guilty sinner and he is a just judge? Well, look at the verse again. And it says, and are justified freely by his grace as a gift. In other words, here is God's favour. It's undeserved. It is contrary to my deserving. We've sung about it already. It's amazing. That's grace. One morning, early in the morning, 3 a.m., we were in our first parish in the country, New South Wales, and I could hear a rattling in our house out the back. I turned over, my wife was in bed. I went and checked on the children. They were all in bed and safe, but there was a noise out the back. And as I got to the kitchen, I could see that the oven was on and the alarm was going. Someone had entered into our house, had carved up cheese on the dining room table, had broken eggs, and then he went to the back room of the house. The door was closed and I could see that there was light under the door and there was movement. Someone had come into our home. And as I took the handle of the door and opened it up, my heart was in my mouth. And I opened it and there was a complete stranger there. I said, what are you doing in my home? He said, oh, I'm in the wrong house, am I? I said, yes, you've broken into my house and I'm going to ring the police and tell them to come and get... Oh, please, he said, please don't do that. Please have mercy. You see, that's what mercy is, isn't it? It withholds the punishment which that man deserved. I said, very well, God's been merciful to me. I'll be merciful to you. He said, oh, thanks very much, Pastor. Thanks very much. You wouldn't have $10 on you, would you? They say what he's asking me to be at that point is gracious, to reward him $10 for breaking into my house. But that is precisely what grace is. All of us have fallen short of God's standard, but here we are told that God declares us in the right by his grace. That's the second word. Now, how can God declare guilty sinners in the right with him and still be just? No judge can do that. And that brings us to the third word. Have a look at it. Through, notice, the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. This is a business word. It's buying freedom for a slave. It's cash converters. If you ever go there, you go there to buy your watch back or your guitar back. It's buying something back that is in bondage. And we are in bondage to sin, and Jesus comes and pays the price to set us free. The price to set us free is a perfect life offered to God. So Jesus pays a debt he didn't owe. I owed it. I couldn't pay it. He comes and he pays it for me. Now, I don't know if you've seen the film with Liam Neeson called The Doctor. He's a specialist surgeon. He's a very aloof person. And he has very few friends. But he is going himself into life-threatening surgery. And he knows that he's in trouble. He has one solitary friend who comes as he's going into the operating theatre. And he said, the one friend says to Liam Neeson, I wish I could go with you. But Liam Neeson says, I don't want you to go with me. I want you to go instead of me. Go in my place. In my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. That's what the song says. I'm right with God, justified by grace through the redemption. But there's more. Look at verse 25. God presented Christ, look at it, as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood. This literally is a sacrifice which absorbs the wrath of God. It's a very pagan idea, isn't it? If you know that God's angry with you, he can fly off the handle, and so you need to set out a sacrifice to absorb the wrath of God. Christian propitiation is quite different. God's anger is not fly off the handle, and God propitiates, sacrifices himself. in order to atone for our sin. In his Son, he pours his wrath, his anger against my sin on his Son so that I don't have to bear it at all. And so Paul says here, here's the fourth word, a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood. Now, is this automatic? So we've looked at four words, justification, grace, redemption, sacrifice of atonement. But the fifth is there in verse 25. Did you notice? To be received by faith. Now, some people say, well, faith is believing what you know isn't true. No, to be received by faith. If you look down to verse 26, notice the last line, the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. What does it mean to have faith? It means to rely. It means to depend. It means to trust. When John Payton, the Scottish missionary, went to the New Hebrides, Vanuatu, the first thing he did when he came there as the first Christian missionary there was to translate the Gospel of John. He worked with a language translator. And this man, when it came to the word believe, faith, he couldn't give him the Vanuatuan equivalent of faith. One day they were out trekking in the jungle and they came home exhausted at the end of the day, and the language helper collapsed himself into his hammock. And John Payton said, "Tell me what you've done." And he gave him the rather awkward expression, what it means to collapse into your hammock. And it was that awkward expression which John Payton used to translate the word believe or have faith in that first translation of John's Gospel. What does it mean? It means to collapse all your trust, to rest on Jesus. Now, friends, there is authentic Christian belief. There is the big five. Justified, declared in the right, contrary to my deserving, by grace, on the basis of the redemptive work of Jesus, who died paying the price to set me free from bondage, and on the basis of the sacrifice of atonement, the wrath of God due to me was borne by him. And it is faith which links us to Jesus. One of our sons married a South African girl. At the wedding, the gospel was preached. My son's best man was a friend from school, a young man from a Buddhist background. At the end of the service, that young man came up to me, Ka Ken, and he said, "Mr. Cook, I think I've become a Christian." I said, "That's wonderful. When we get back to Sydney, would you read the Bible with me every week?" "Yes, indeed, I will." And every week for a year, Ka Ken turned up. And every week he'd start by saying, "I prepared a study," but he'd say, "Tell me about justification again. Tell me about grace again. Tell me about it again." Authenticity. Remember that conference in Oxford, and C.S. Lewis, who was a professor at Oxford, comes along and said, "What is the conference about?" "It is what is unique about the Christian faith." "Oh," C.S. Lewis said, "that's easy. What's unique about the Christian faith is grace. None of us deserve it. And yet God has done this contrary to our deserving." And dear friends, the tragedy is this, that the vast majority of professing Christians are living in our culture in the skim milk Christianity light variety. That's what it is. They know nothing about these terms of St. Paul. We were in a B&B in the Hunter Valley. And the first morning, our hostess came out and learned that we were Christians. I asked, "Are you a Christian?" "Oh," she said, "I'm just trying to be good." There's a very prominent radio announcer here in Sydney, and he says, whenever I'm asked if I'm a Christian, I always say, "I'm trying. I'm trying and hope that God is going to be merciful." Christianity, you see, being reduced to a moral code. And yet when you look at the big five, where is trying? Where is being good? Where is doing your best? It's no good trying and trusting that God will be merciful. On Judgment Day, God has got no basis, no ground for being merciful with you. You say, "Well, I'll stand on my record." It's your record that is your problem. We are all short of God's standard. And Christianity light, Christianity skim milk, is what you must do. But authentic Christianity, notice, is what God has done. Justify by grace on the basis of redemption, the sacrifice of atonement, and faith in him. He is the ground of my justification. He redeemed me. God's wrath is poured on him. And so sometimes people come and say, oh, I'm a Christian too. I'm just not a very good one. You see, if you're a Christian, you're a perfect one. Not because you're perfect, but you stand before God in a perfect Saviour. It's not based on what I do. It's based on what Jesus has done for me. Are you an authentic Christian? Do you understand what it means to stand just before the judge? On the basis of grace, you didn't earn it. Through the work of redemption and the sacrifice of atonement of another. And I have trust in him. In him. In 2009, my dad and mum died. They lived in our family home in Coogee. And they'd lived there since 1952. My sisters and I put the house on the market and it sold very quickly at auction. The man who bought it had to pay 10% of the price and he had 6 weeks to gather the rest of the money. And sure enough, 5 weeks later, the real estate agent rang me and said, Mr. Cook, he's about to pay the 90% of the sale price. I need your keys. I said, don't you realise? I grew up in that house. That's where we celebrated birthdays. That's where we celebrated Christmas. All the big family events were in that house ever since I was a child. Can I keep one key? Mr. Cook, you cannot claim the benefit of the auction and deny the implication. He will not pay the 90%. If he doesn't have all the keys of ownership in his pocket. Dear friends, if I was to say something to our fellow Australians, I'd say, you cannot claim the benefit, friendship with God, justification, the hope of heaven, and deny the implication you only have those things as you have faith in Jesus. So you must turn from faith in yourself to having faith and trust in Jesus. Because when you stand before God the judge, if you stand before God the judge and say, well, look, I tried to be good, I can imagine God saying, don't you realize I sent my son? How could you ignore him in trying to be good? So I plead with you today, if your experience has been you haven't been a Christian, or you have been in the skim milk counterfeit variety of Christian faith, just trying to be good, trying to keep the Ten Commandments, leave it behind. Come to put your faith and trust in Jesus. It's his work of redemption. It's his sacrifice of atonement. It's all by grace. And God the judge never changes the verdict. He says, just. In the right, a friend of mine. And so please have a look at that prayer. It's a terrific prayer. It's simple without being simplistic. And I encourage you today to begin afresh the Christian life by simply praying from your heart that prayer. I'm going to pray it out loud. You might like to repeat it in the silence of your own mind. But let's come to God and pray. Authentic Christian belief. The big five, justified by grace through the redemption, the sacrifice of atonement, and this comes to those who have faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, I am sorry I have ignored you and tried to live life my way. Thank you for sending Jesus to take my place and pay for my sin. Please forgive me and adopt me into your family. And I pray on the basis of all that Jesus has done for me. Amen. I think that's a tremendous prayer. Look at it again. Sorry. Thank you. Please. That's what we have to say to God. And God takes us and places us in Christ, and he says, justified on the basis of all that my Son has done. If you relate to verse 23, move to verse 24 and 25. All have sinned, but justification is for those who believe. And I want to encourage you. I'll be here for lunch. If you want to talk more about this, having an authentic Christian faith, I'd be delighted to talk to you.